Our loving Father, we come to your presence to seek your blessing, Master. I commit this effort into your hands, and as I share some parts of my life, I beg your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, every word that I utter should be a blessing to the listeners, Master. Let this small musical effort be a blessing not only to our ministry, but to the listeners. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. My dear friends, I would like to start my story, if you can call it a story, with a small rendition of a Telugu song, the meaning of which is as follows. It says, when I was down, you didn't forget me. It's only because of your grace that I am what I am. Your grace is my support. Your grace is my comfort. Your grace, nothing but your grace. I put my trust in your grace, my Lord, my Savior.
Deena dashalo nenunnappudu nannu maruvanidi nee krupa neni sthitilo unnanante kevalam adi nee krupa deena dashalo nenunnappudu nannu maruvanidi నీ కృపా నేని స్థితిలో ఉన్నానంటే కేవలము అది నీ కృపా నీ కృపయే నాకు ఆధారం ఆ కృపయే నాకు ఆదరణ నీ కృపయే నాకు ఆధారం ఆ కృపయే నాకు ఆదరణ కృపా కృపా నీ కృపా 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 క్రీస్తు కృపా 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 నీ కృపా 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 క్రీస్తు కృపా నేనైతే నీ కృపయందు నమ్మికయుంచియున్నాను నేనైతే నీ కృపయందు నమ్మికయుంచియున్నాను నమ్మికయుంచియున్నాను కృపా కృపా నీ కృపా 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 క్రీస్తు కృపా.
When my mother was about to give birth to her first child at Kakinada, India, the doctors foreboded difficulties and told her she and the child to be born may not survive. She remembered her childhood prayers to Jesus Christ and the Sunday school lessons. She quickly made a vow to Jesus to remember her and relieve her of her misery, and that if the Lord blesses her with a male child, she would make him a pastor to serve the Lord. Immediately, she had a vision in which the Holy Spirit came upon her in the form of a ball of fire and touched her womb, and she had a safe delivery and gave birth to a male child. At the age of 10 months, I was adopted by my paternal grandmother, who was residing at Vishakhapatnam in India. She doted on me and desired to make me a medical doctor. She decided to christen me Sam Sundar, the abbreviated form of Samuel, her husband's name, Sundaramma, hers. When I was 3 years old, my mother remembered her vow to Jesus. On telling her mother-in-law about her vow, she was not allowed to fulfill the vow because she lost her rights over the child. Meanwhile, she gave birth to a girl and another boy. I was pampered from childhood and was given the best of schooling in a Christian public school. I was brought up in an atmosphere of religion and was sent to Sunday school followed by attendance at the Telugu worship service in the forenoon. I used to attend an Anglican English service in the evening, and sometimes I would attend the service at an Adventist church on Saturday. As a youngster entering into teens, I was making forays into the world and was slowly gaining confidence to depend upon my own abilities, thus drifting away from the spiritual atmosphere which surrounded me up to then. Meanwhile, my grandparents separated because of adultery on the part of Samuel, and eventually my grandmother died in the year 1972 on the very day I was to celebrate my 16th birthday. My parents shifted to Vishakhapatnam to take care of me and my inherited property. I drifted further away from the church and stopped attending church. Meanwhile, my flirtations with the world kept increasing. I completed graduation in science, and forgetting my grandmother's desire to make me a medical doctor, my grandmother's father, who was a boatman and watchman to the Christian missionaries, was the first convert in the family from the untouchable caste to Christianity. Legend has it that he was a man of prayer. Now, as a young man, my father advised me to reconvert to Hinduism so that I can avail of the government benefits for which the untouchables are eligible. You see, as Christian converts, we lose all government benefits. I lost faith in Jesus Christ was the signed declaration before my reconversion. Based upon my re-embracing Hinduism, I got into a government-owned bank as an officer and was doing extremely well in my career. Meanwhile, before I was 22, I was married to Mani, a born-again praying young girl. She kept praying for my conversion, and she was inspired when she was joined in intercession for my salvation by her mother, who is a powerful intercessor herself. We were blessed with two children, Sushma and Joel. In the year 92, my career took a turn for the worst. I was suddenly accused of committing a major fraud. The news was in all national newspapers, and unable to bear the infamy and shame, I took leave and subsequently absconded from duty for an year. Even though there wasn't any fraud, the fear made me a coward, which also brought in a kind of boldness to do better in life. Incidentally, Sushma is now married and is an English lecturer for graduate students, while Joel is doing his 7th standard. Meanwhile, the CBI, the country's internal security force, was looking for me. That was the rumor. I was selling away all my investments to keep afloat and do some kind of business to make both ends meet. My wife and kids were kept in the dark about the trouble in the office. The year was October 1993. There was no money on hand. Credit card bills were mounting. All business ventures failed, and depression was looming large. My wife, unaware of what's happening to the family, was attending church and kept praying for my salvation. It was 31st October, Sunday, 1993. When I decided to at least receive the benediction blessings in the service which was being attended by my wife and children. And the pastor there was personally known to me. The radical preacher's words, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?" It's a verse in the Bible from 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, 20th verse. That word penetrated deep into my soul, and I began to introspect about my condition. The preacher invited me to attend a revival meetings at a hill station, and not having anything better to do, I went with the preacher the next day. In the 3 days that followed the meeting, I was soaked with the word of God, but wouldn't budge an inch from the condition of my soul. Even the personal counseling from 3 preachers didn't have any effect upon me. Early on the 4th day, I went up the hill for a walk near the church at the place called Paderu. Once having gone up, I sat upon a huge rock which was jutting into the valley below, a hair's breadth from death, contemplating about life and failure. how my career, which was once brilliant, and how my friends were confident that I would become nothing less than the managing director of the bank, how I had fallen from grace, what the future holds for me, how about my wife's and children's future. Contemplatively, I approached Jesus in prayer. My falling from grace included dabbling with the occult and indulging in paying obeisance to the nature, stones and trees and man himself. Now all alone, away from human habitation, away from life's hubbub, where wild animals frequented, and close to nature, I was reflecting upon the beautiful surroundings and began to pray aloud, slowly first, and shouting later, pouring out my heart and telling Jesus about my pitiable state of affairs. I never prayed like that before. I was telling Jesus to do something, anything in my life, failing which only death was looming large. As tears began to flow and prayer was intensifying, I heard a voice which was reassuring, a voice which was so understanding, a voice which was soothing, and a voice which was filling the entire valley. A song comes to my mind, and the song says that, "Why did you shower your love upon me, Master? It's beyond my comprehension. I am fearful of your love now. My sin has been cancelled by the cross. Lord Jesus, by your divine forgiveness, you have changed me."
Indulako na pai prema andadaya swami namadiki. Indulako na pai prema andadaya swami namadiki. Andulake bhayamunditini. అందులకి భయముందితిని బాసిల్లెను సిలువలు పాప క్షమా యేసు ప్రభు నీ దివ్య క్షమా బాసిల్లెను సిలువలు పాప క్షమా
ఆల్ రిలేటివ్స్ ఆల్ ఫ్రెండ్స్ ostracized me, and they didn't want me and my family at their house. Conditions were desperate, as there were no friends at that moment. The voice was speaking to me and addressing me. "You can't believe it, my son. Can you imagine?" This voice, Jesus wasn't addressing me as, "You adulterer, you liar, you absconder, you cheat, you foul-mouthed deceiver." No, he was calling me as my son. Do you think I deserve to be addressed as my son? No, 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 not at all, not at all. Do you know whom he addressed my son in the Bible? It was Jesus Christ himself. God the Father was addressing Jesus Christ and saying, "My loving son." And here I was, in a wretched condition, far away from humanity, far away from sanity, far away from the love that people show. And God was showing his love to me. I just can't believe it. It's beyond my comprehension. I just can't explain things to you. "You need not die, my son. I have died for you," was the second word that hit me in my soul. Not having received any comfort from any human being, not only because I didn't tell anyone about my condition, because the entire picture was not known to anybody. Some people knew something of my life, and like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, only God knew me thoroughly, and the evil within which made me to do what I did knew me fully. The intense meaning of the words, "When the Creator
spoke to me is unimaginable, and they left a searing mark in my soul. How can someone so pure die for someone so horrible? The love force behind those words was both drawing me yet closer and closer, while the attractions were causing me some kind of revulsion in me and creating and making me realize what a wretched and unworthy fellow I am. While I was murmuring, now my prayer was both unashamed crying and mumbling and saying, I want to die, I want to die. Now the voice was firm. If you want to see a change in your life, then you have to confess. The few moments thereafter are unforgettable in my life. It was as if someone was running a quick fast forward of my past life. There I was, imagining that I was as a good sort of guy. But here was the fast forward of my life, indicating all the muck, all the dirt of my life. I began to cry louder and louder and harder, because there's so much to confess and so much of dirt to clean. Immediately, the Lord spoke again and said, just say you're sorry and you will see a change in your life. The moment I said, I'm sorry, Lord, the Lord lifted away some unseen burden off my shoulders and lifted me and filled me with a sense of joy and peace, a certain tranquil, inexplicable quiet within. And I was filled with courage to face life and what it had to offer once again. And I was walking down the hill after an hour and a half of this power encounter with Jesus. I was confident that I could face life once again. I was seeing a vision of Moses walking down the hill with the 2 stone tablets containing the 10 commandments. The moment I went down to the church, most of the delegates left, and a few of them who remained were leaving. When one of the servants of God was asked to pray, he hugged me and started crying while praying for me. I was thinking, wasn't I wrong in thinking that no one cared for me? While here is this person whom I had never met before. Not only he cares for me, but he cares enough that he is shedding tears for me. I heard the Lord telling me, my son, it's not his love, but mine. He's filled with my love, and I am using him as a tool to extend my love to you. If you want the same love, then open your heart and I'll fill you with my love. And friends, I am full of his love since then. The moment I went home, my wife Mani knew I had been saved, because along with my little daughter, who was 12 years then, fasted for those 3 days of my absence to pray for my salvation. That Sunday I made a commitment to serve the Lord, and 3 days later the bank wrote to me asking me to return to the bank. Not knowing what to do, I prayed when the Lord spoke and said he would be cutting me off, leaving a stump, like how he did to Nebuchadnezzar. While seeking confirmation of his word, Pastor David Raj, who led me to the Lord, and I fasted and prayed when I received 3 visions. I saw a ball of fire, which I actually gulped down, and I began to speak in tongues. I sucked in a warm fluid from an old Bible-shaped box, and the fluid filled up an empty space in my mind. I saw a brilliant light coming down from the heavenlies, which came upon me. When Pastor David Raj spoke and said that I am being anointed in the name of Jesus Christ, I was slain in the spirit. My life has never been the same again. Again, I am reminded of a wonderful small chorus which is written by the wonderful servant of God. It goes like this. It says, you have called me with a high calling to be where you dwell. You showed me the way worthy of my calling, my Jesus. You made me upright.
ఉన్నత పిలుపుతో నన్ను పిలచి ఉన్నత పిలుపుతో నన్ను పిలచి నీవున్న చోటున నేనుండుటకై నీవున్న చోటున నేనుండుటకై పిలుపుకు తగిన మార్గము చూపి నన్ను స్థిరపరచిన యేసయ్యా, పిలుపుకు తగిన మార్గము చూపి నన్ను స్థిరపరచిన యేసయ్యా, నన్ను విడువక ఎడబాయక దాచితివా, నన్ను విడువక ఎడబాయక దాచితివా, నీ చేతి నీడలో యేసయ్యా, నీ చేతి నీడలో
I joined a ministry on being led by the Lord and left after 3 years of discipling. Meanwhile, I rejoined duty in the bank only to be hauled up to a court of law and was declared to be innocent after 7 years of trial. It's so painful to once again go through those 7 years and sharing these words with you. Subsequently, in a departmental inquiry, I was found guilty of procedural lapses to which I pleaded guilty and I was dismissed from service. Now, I have the option of going to a court for justice, in which case I am very likely to get back my job along with all lost wages amounting to about, some people say it could be around $60,000 to $100,000. But my God is my justice. I cannot go back to that vomit once again. After 3 years of discipleship, I fasted for 40 days to ask God for the reason why He called me. He spoke and said, a new worship. A few days later, I had to speak at a crusade as the main speaker did not turn up. The Holy Spirit came down upon the crusade and miracles began to take place. The deaf began to hear and there was a revival in that place. Prophecies were pronounced, one of which was that I shall be accountable for 1 crore souls. After receiving several confirmations about ministry, I started Golden Harvest Ministries in November 96. I asked the Lord for a logo, the name, and 3 words to indicate the nature of work God wanted me to do for Him. The result is Golden Harvest Ministries, and return, revive, and restore, the 3 words He gave me from Psalm 80. I asked the Lord as to what sort of people would come to the church when the Lord spoke and gave me the word Adullam from 1 Samuel, where 3 kinds of people came to David seeking refuge: those who are in distress, discontented with life, and those who are in debts. Agape Church, as the church is now called, is full of these groups of people, and we try to find and mend our lives here with God's help. These 3 groups of people are indeed a frustrated and depressed lot. Hence, there would be a tremendous strain and pressure on resources, and most of all, it is indeed a divine intervention which would bring a sense of discipline into mostly rebellious lives. Just like the first church of Acts, Agape had to face rebellious and righteous crowd resistance wherever we commenced worship. We had to shift worship a number of times. You know, once the police intervened to stop worship, for those were the days of anti-Christian governance. The membership consists of people who most often cannot afford transport to church. And if church is located in the outskirts of the city, I have to use an old car, which is incidentally 1968 make, to transport the Sunday school children to the church and to transport my family and me to the church. The one car we own is usually overworked and results in frequent breakdowns, disrupting schedules, and the church is now located in a palm leaf roofed shed on the 3rd floor of a rented premises. Hence, we are praying for our own premises.
Having a burden for destitutes and the aged citizens, we started Callow's Home, presently housed in a shed. We also started a literacy program for street children who are usually orphans and urban rag pickers. We also produced a worship album, and this present album which you are hearing is our second one. Credit is due to my daughter Sushma and brother Ashirwad, who assisted in producing this album and composing the music. My daughter Sushma assists in the church in praise and worship, while her husband Sam Kumar, who is a postgraduate student of social work, assists in social work projects such as running Callow's Home and other projects. My son Joel, who is 12 years now, assists in playing drums in the church. My wife Mani helps in secretarial work and not only preaches in my absence, but is the assistant pastor of the church. Should you feel led by the Lord to join us in serving the Lord, then please get in touch with us. Most of all, we need you to join us in prayer for the fulfillment of this immense vision, of which I am accountable for 1 crore souls. Won't you share my burden? Now join me in worshiping the Lord. May God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Amen.